Song of Solomon chapter 2. And verse 1, it says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Heavenly Father, tonight we're going to explore an issue here that I think is relevant to us, perhaps more than we realize. One of your myriad of comparisons to the Lord Jesus Christ in your book. I pray before it's all said and done, we'll fall in love with Him just a little bit more. That we may know Him and the power of His resurrection. God, that is our desire, that is our heartbeat. And we pray that You would accommodate that for the Lord Jesus' sake and for lost souls' sake. In His name we pray. Amen. On recent Sunday evenings, I have preached a sermon to you about the Rose of Sharon and then another one about the Lily of the Valley. The Lord has called a large variety of things. Some scholars, I have never chased them all down, frankly, in the Bible, but some estimate there are more than 100 different names in the Bible for the Lord. And I'm sure that that's probably true. Probably at least 100, if not more. We have in our text 3. He's compared to the Rose of Sharon, to the lily of the valley, and now to the apple tree. It should not surprise us then that the Lord compares His Son to the apple tree, and then we would expect that there would be a great many benefits that are derived from the apple. So I set about to do some research on that. Let me acquaint you with some things about apples. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. How many of you ever heard that? Okay, I suppose everybody's heard that. Another one is, to need an apple on going to bed will make the doctor beg for his bread. I like that one even better. These old sayings have an element of sound truth. Apples are a veritable storehouse of valuable minerals, acids, and enzymes. Apples contain all of the great builders of the various tissues in the body. Apples contain calcium, a builder of bone and cardiac stimulant. They contain iron. It's an oxygen carrier. The red blood cells are affected in a positive way. Potassium. That helps brain and nerve cells. Maintains water balance in the tissues, removing excess. Apples contain magnesium. Magnesium is a muscle builder, enhances calcium uptake. Sodium. Ensures water is retained in the tissues, preventing dehydration. Traces of silica, copper, sulfur, phosphorus, and fluorine are also in apples. All apples contain malic and gallic acids. Malic acid carries its own life, giving oxygen. About one-third of its atoms are made up of oxygen. This oxygen is readily absorbed in the tissues. Gallic acid is astringent and cleansing to the mucous membranes of the digestive tract, acting as an antiseptic tonic. These acids, along with the natural apple sugars, not only help to digest the apple, but also help to digest other foods. This explains their use with fatty meats such as pork or goose. So if you're going to eat a pig or a goose, eat an apple to go along with it. Help you out a little bit, you see. Applesauce is a valuable infant and convalescent food readily utilized by the body. It also neutralizes stomach acid and deranged digestion. Furthermore, these acids have the ability to act as desolvents, breaking down calcium deposits on joints and in the kidney and the bladder. In Normandy, France, where unsweetened apple cider is drunk regularly, the occurrence of kidney and bladder stones is extremely rare. I'm going to read a little more, then I'm going to preach. But I'm reading because this is information that it wouldn't normally be available to us. In Greek mythology, apples tasted like honey and healed all ailments. That's in Greek mythology. In American folk medicine, the apple is called the king of fruits, a neutralizer of the body's excess acids. And thus, according to a 1927 article in American Medicine, now I know everyone's going to say, oh, 1927, that can't be relevant. I mean, that's, you know, almost 100 years ago. What did they know in 1927? You know what I just saw in a magazine, and I told Lynn, I said, order this book for us. It's only $10. Order it. Folk Medicine Remedies. Stuff the old timers used to do, you know. I said, that's it. Let's get that book right there. So in a 1927 article in American Medicine, therapeutically effective in all conditions of gout, rheumatism, jaundice, all liver and gallbladder troubles, and nervous and skin diseases caused by sluggish liver, hyperacidity, and states of antitoxation, no doubt about it, modern scientific investigation finds apples a versatile and potent package of natural drugs that deserve their reputation for keeping doctors away. The apple, now this is more up-to-date information, helps keep the cardiovascular system healthy. First Italian, then Irish researchers, and now the French have all confirmed that eating apples puts a dent in blood cholesterol. Now, they didn't know what cholesterol was in 1927. But they know what it is today, and they say, hey, apples help. They help. Unquestionably, apples tend to be good for diabetics and others who want to avoid steep rises in blood sugar. Apples rank near the bottom of the glycemic index, a measurement of how fast the blood sugar rises after eating. So that's one fruit that a diabetic can eat with, I'm sure, some amount of discretion, but nonetheless, you know, it's not like other things that spikes your sugar. This means that despite an apple's natural sugar content, it does not spur a rapid rise in blood sugar. The fruit keeps the throttle on insulin, and foods that do this invariably also lower blood cholesterol and blood pressure. In fact, researchers at prestigious Yale University have found that you may have only to smell apples to get your blood pressure down. Now, that's not some rabid Baptist preacher. That's Yale University. Okay? That's what they say. Well, this is all very interesting. Apple cider vinegar has many alleged medicinal virtues. And it cleanses the digestive tract and balances the acid-alkaline ratio. It maintains correct water balance in the tissues, preventing edema and dehydration. It eases joint and muscle pain. It helps to dissolve calcium deposits in kidneys and bladder and around joints. It oxygenates the tissues. Used topically, reduces swelling and disinfects skin wounds. Can relieve mild itching. I read all this and I say, well, no wonder the Lord compares himself to an apple tree. We saw a lot of medicinal virtues in the Rose of Sharon. Likewise, we saw a lot of other medicinal virtues in the Lily of the Valley. But boy, the apple tree has really got some things going for it. And there's one thing about this apple vinegar that really caught my attention when it said it eases joint and muscle pain. Because I'm thinking about the great physician. And anytime the Lord in His Word compares Himself to something in nature, you've got to realize that thing in nature has got to be very, very essential and a good thing. Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 5. What I did was I went through all of the things that apple or apple vinegar or we haven't got to it yet, but apple bark does for folks. And then I begin in my mind's eye to search for scriptural parallels to that. Occasions where Jesus actually healed someone because he's compared to an apple tree. All right, now in John chapter 5, after this there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season unto the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Now this man has an infirmity. The Bible is not specific as to what the infirmity was. But clearly it was an infirmity that did not allow him to be mobile. He was somewhat immobile or paralyzed due to this infirmity. I think it would be safe to say he had muscle and joint difficulties. Whatever the problem was, however you may identify this medically, he had problems that way. And so he says to the fellow that's waiting by the pool of Bethesda, hey, you know, you want to be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Now this was an interesting situation where occasionally an angel showed up and stirred the waters, and the first one into the water received the healing. The man said, I'm handicapped. I can never be the first one in the water. There's always someone in front of me that gets there before I do. How in the world can I benefit from this miracle that occasionally takes place? Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Well, just like the Rose of Sharon had its own medicinal virtues, and the lily of the valley likewise, the apple tree is well qualified in the person of Jesus Christ to heal the lame. I realize that we live in an age in which healing is limited. I believe in healing. I believe God heals folks. Don't misunderstand me. However, I believe in limited healing. I don't believe in healers because if a healer were real, I think the first thing he'd do is he'd go down to the paraplegic ward at the local hospital. And I think he'd start going from room to room and healing folks. That's what I think. But I think God overrules in certain circumstances. But by and large, healing today does not happen because we live in a cursed earth, and the god of this world is the devil. But when you get over there and study what the prophets had to say about the millennial kingdom, when the Lord returns, ladies and gentlemen, the lame shall walk. Ladies and gentlemen, some miraculous things are going to take place when the apple tree, the Lord Jesus Christ, is allowed to flourish as it should and as it will. You know, physical healing is something that many a folk have prayed for. Some have received it, some have not. But I know who the great physician is. Now, it's interesting that apple cider vinegar is what is used to ease joint and muscle pain. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't vinegar a little bitter? I know some folks have a habit of drinking a little bit of vinegar every day. Anybody here do that? I got two folks that are brave enough to admit to it. Put a little honey with it. That helps. Helps your digestion. I believe you. Vinegar will. Well, he needs vinegar because he's so sweet. All right, now, I'm reminded that this healing is accommodated with something that is a little bit sour and bitter. Vinegar. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ is a two-edged sword. There's a sweet side, and there's a sour side. Isn't that right? And the sour side is what he has to say about the depravity of the human heart. And the Pharisees and many others rejected him because of what he had to say when he pointed out their sin. The sweet side is the remedy that he provides for the problem. Vinegar. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ healed this fella, and I find it fascinating that apple cider vinegar is oftentimes reputed to be able to help pain in the joints and the muscles. Well, that's not all. There's another thing they do. I mean, the apple has a lot of virtues that we've already discussed. That is the fruit itself and the vinegar that comes from the fruit. But it goes far deeper than that, and I didn't realize that until doing some reading on the subject. And they derive a product from the bark of the apple tree, and it's called Florizen. And who knows if my pronunciation is correct, but that's what it looks like to me. Phloridzin. Florizen. They go through a lengthy process to derive this product from the bark. They boil it twice and bring it to certain temperatures and bring it down. And, you know, it's all a laboratory kind of thing. But ultimately what they end up with is these needle-like crystals, these very white crystals that come, that is this product, Florizen, from the bark of the apple tree. And it has been discovered over the years that this has tremendous medicinal advantages. It is a tonic. It helps in a lot of other things that I'd like to kind of show you from the Bible. Look with me in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I'll say it again. I've said it every time I preach a message like this, but you can't say it too often. If I were a scientist, I'm not. But if I were interested in providing chemical resources from nature that would help people and heal people, I would study everything in the Bible that the Lord compares to His Son. That's what I'd study. I'd forget studying asparagus. I probably wouldn't study broccoli. Although I like both of them, and I'm sure they're good things. I'd study apples and apple trees. Because in our text, it didn't just say apples, it said apple trees. I'd study the lily of the valley. I'd study the rose of Sharon. And a variety of other things that the Lord compares to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the things that I'd study. I'm sure contain within the atomic structure of those elements are tremendous healing capabilities. Now I realize we're never going to get it all till the millennium. And don't you know it's going to be marvelous? Because you get over there in that kingdom age and folks are going to get sick. And they're going to go to Jerusalem to get some healing information. The Lord will say, all right, now what you do is you go out here and you take a little of this and you take a little of that and you take a little of that and you mix it together and boom, you're all fixed up. And you know, we live in an age of darkness right now. Now we see through a glass darkly. And you know what we're going to say? Why didn't I think of that? You're not going to be afflicted by sickness. You. In the kingdom age. You'll have a resurrected, incorruptible body. But not everyone will. You with me? Folks are going to be born in the kingdom age. And they're still going to be confined to the same kind of body that you and I live in right now. And even though life expectancy is going to be extended tenfold in the kingdom age, people will still succumb eventually to human disease and sickness. And the Lord's going to show us some things. It'll be marvelous. All right, now in Luke chapter 14, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. They're always watching him, trying to see how they can trip him up. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. That doesn't mean that he fumbled the football. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him, and let him go. Now, I found this particularly fascinating. Because this is a page lifted from the internet. King's American Dispensary. And this is from a secular book dealing with medical issues. And it has to do with what I'm talking about in this chemical product that they derive from the bark of the apple tree, and it says that it is an efficient remedy in dropsy? Well, quite frankly, I couldn't remember. I knew I studied it once, but I couldn't remember what dropsy was. I said, what's dropsy? So I looked it up. And what dropsy is a retention of the fluid in the limbs. And occasionally in the abdomen. And it's the inability to get rid of excessive fluid, particularly in the limbs, and they swell way up. And so it's called dropsy. And an apple compound has been proven to be extremely effective in eliminating that difficulty and that problem. And so it's not a coincidence that I read in Luke chapter 14 that the Lord Jesus healed a fella that had dropsy. I thought, wow, what do you know about that? And I thought it was one of those old-fashioned, archaic Bible terms. And then I read out of a medical dictionary, oh, it works for dropsy. Maybe your old King James Bible isn't as out of date as people would like you to think it is. Maybe the NIV is out of date. Well, look with me over in Mark chapter 1. All right, Mark chapter 1, verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. I'm reading again from a medical book. Floridzin is tonic and has cured cases of intermittent fever, even where quinine has proved ineffectual. Even when quinine wouldn't work, they found that the product of the apple tree did work in curing a fever. And so I'm not surprised that the Lord Jesus Christ healed Peter's mother, mother-in-law, which I've always been fat. How did Peter, the first pope, have a mother-in-law? He must have had a wife, because you sure wouldn't want a mother-in-law if you didn't have a wife. Now, those of you who were in Sunday school, you can attest to the fact that I was nice to mother-in-laws today, wasn't I? Yes, I was. I have witnesses. Amen. I was nice to mother-in-laws. I was nice to my mother-in-law. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. No, I was. I was. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Alright. Quinine is, I don't know what it's composed of, I don't have any idea, but it's a medicine that's used frequently in fevers, such as malaria, and other things like that. I don't know. I know it's an old remedy in malaria, I do know that. So, what do we have observed here so far? What we observed is that the apple itself, the fruit of the apple, seems to be extremely beneficial to people in a variety of ways. And so the old axiom, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, there may be more truth than fiction to that. But then as we research a little bit further, we discover that some of the byproducts of the apple, such as apple cider vinegar, has a lot of virtues as well, particularly in easing muscle and joint pain, you see. And as some personal testimonies have been rendered here, it helps in digestion and who knows what else. We've also observed that people that drink this regularly seem to have almost a zero rate of incidence of kidney stones and gallstones and that kind of thing, you see. And then we continue to investigate another byproduct, Floridzin, which comes from the bark of the tree, and that is extremely beneficial in eliminating too much fluid, which is what is called dropsy in certain circumstances, and it also is very effective in curing intermittent fevers. All of these wonderful things come from the apple or the apple tree. Does that surprise us? The Lord calls Himself an apple tree. Let's go back and look at it one more time. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Verse 3, chapter 2. As the apple tree The Lord includes the whole tree. Among the trees of the wood. So there must be something in the wood, as well as the fruit. Science has verified that. So is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And so the Lord seems to be putting a stamp of endorsement and approval on the fruit and the wood. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. In conclusion, I would say that the apple is compared to something that renders great comfort. Now, I'm kind of an apple freak myself. I hardly miss a day when I don't eat at least one apple. I like apples. I have my favorites. I don't like Red Delicious. I think they're mealy and kind of meh. You know, I don't like them. If you like them, God bless you. I think medicinally they're probably as good as any other apple, you know. I like an apple that's a little tart, very crispy, crunchy when you crunch on it, you know. Like that. No, I can't. I enjoy immensely a good apple. I think you need to learn to enjoy Jesus Christ. A lot of people have the wrong impression of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the idea that he's just there demanding your obedience. When he would like you to sit down, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. He invites you just to sit down and he will offer you some comfort. Amen. Why don't you avail yourself of his comfort? This book provides great comfort. I find it interesting. People run to and fro in the frenzy of life, as we all do. But when a real crisis comes, what they seek is comfort. And ladies and gentlemen, the only comfort that I know of is what can be extracted from that book. There is comfort. When people need comfort, there's usually the first book that they'll go to in the Bible is the Psalms. And that's okay. I recommend it. I think that's a good place to go. There's many places in that Bible that'll render comfort, but the Psalms are wonderful for that. Because oftentimes the psalmist wrote searching in his own heart for comfort, looking for that delightful apple. And the Lord compares himself to an apple. It is medicinal in value. It adds to longevity and health and strength. Why not avail yourself of it? Now, I believe this. I'm just crazy enough to believe this. And this has been proven, by the way, scientifically. Do you know who lives the longest as a demographic group of people in America? Anybody know who lives the longest? In America. Midwestern farmers. Midwestern farmers live longer than any other group of people. Well, they work hard. But let's stop and think about that. Midwestern people are more inclined to a religious attitude that revolves around the Word of God. They find their comfort in things in nature, and they find their comfort in things that are spiritual. West Coast people, that's true all up and down the coast, but I just spent a weekend in California, have a tendency to look for comfort in, you know what I noticed down there? It seems like at least every other person is afflicted with this disease. Their personal status symbol is their automobile. You know, I mean, you cannot go to another place on the continent where there are more prestigious automobiles than Southern California. And frankly, you've got to know that most of those folks can't afford them. I mean, they can't. There are people down there that are living in houses that render a $2,000 a month or more mortgage payment. I mentioned this morning. I said, Brother Bates, you've got barely more than a closet for a nursery. And I mean, we got two big nurseries and we need more. What's the deal here? He said, our people don't have babies. And it's not because the church is full of old folks. They've got a good cross section, a good sprinkling of all age groups, just like we do. Just like we do. He said, they can't afford to have babies. He said, they're both working. A lot of them are driving 60 miles one way to get that preferred job. He said, they're making a $2,000 a month or more mortgage payment, and they'll have two $40,000 automobiles in the garage. So he said, they don't have time nor money for babies. So that's why we don't need anything more in the closet for a nursery. May I suggest that better than a Beamer is one warm, sunny day sitting in the shade of an apple tree and munching on a good Washington apple. You will, in all probability, derive more comfort from that than you will a prestigious automobile. Now, you hopefully can make the spiritual application, because there is one. Amen? Hopefully you can make the spiritual application. There's far more comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ than there is Egyptian junk. Now, we all have our doses of Egyptian junk. You got it, I got it, we all got it, you know. But my goodness, how much junk do we need? How much junk do we need? Everybody's seen, he who dies with the most toys wins? That's a lie. Adam? Yes, he does. Well, I know it sure won't hurt. It sure won't hurt. You know, the best thing to do is stay close to what God loves. Wouldn't you say? This isn't part of the message, but since you brought it up, I'll throw it in before I close. That's why from the day I got saved, 40-odd years ago, I purposed and determined that I was going to be in the best Bible-believing church I could be in. And I was going to be faithful in the church. That was long before I determined that God wanted me to be a preacher. I just determined I was going to be in church. You know why that is? The Bible says Christ gave His life for the church. I'm going to stay close to what God loves. I know He loves His church. I know He loves His book. And I know He loves His Son. You need to stay close to those things. And He loves His saints. And as cantankerous and ornery as they are, He loves them. Right? He loves His sheep. He loves them. So you need to stay close to what God loves. And He loves Israel. He does call Israel the apple of His eye. Now, you talk about ornery and cantankerous. You talk about hard to get along with. That's the bunch right now. But God's going to renovate their heart someday. I recommend you stay close to whatever God likes. That's, I think, a good recommendation. And when you go home tonight and eat an apple, say, thank you, Lord. Every time I eat one of these from now on, may it remind me of You. Because the Lord compares Himself to an apple and an apple tree. One of those amazing things. I'm so glad He does. I'm kind of glad we live in the apple state. How many of you know what percentage of apples in America, Washington State, produces? Anybody know? 60% of all of America's apples are grown right here in our state. 60%. The other two leading apple states are, interestingly, New York and Michigan. Michigan is number two, New York is number three in producing apples. But Washington is by far and away head and shoulders above all the rest of them. And apple production. Well, I told the Lord when I was building this message, that ought to count for something. We grow a bunch of apples here, Lord. Help us out. Amen. All right, let's stand for prayer.